Well, Merry Christmas, Coach, and happy holidays to you right
Thanks,
away.
Pete. And happy holidays to you, all of the listeners, Steve and Fred.
And thank you for the plethora and assortment of delectables that you brought down for all of us and outstanding pastries.
Steve ate six of them.
I had five. Right?
All the little decorations.
Please.
Well, yesterday, 47-7, and then basically a little mini blizzard. So if you had your choice, would you play in that kind of condition all the time, all 16 games, if you're going to have that kind of an outcome?
Well, I think being out and practicing in it, that I think our guys were maybe a little better conditioned to it than Arizona's, both in the footing and the ball handling. I really thought our specialists did a good job of handling the ball, meaning the punt returners and Wes and Steve kicking on it and Chris Hansen, and then all the offensive skill players, starting with Copen and Castle and all the way down the line. I thought they handled the ball well.
Arizona 3-and-out, first possession, 13-20 mark. I wrote down game was over. They just did not look like you guys played terrific, but they just looked like they just didn't want to be there. Do you get that sense, like you smell blood and shark in the water and going right after it? I mean, as we did, we were sitting back and watching it on the television. I mean, you kind of got a sense even that early on in the game that they just didn't want to be there.
Well, I just think a little bit like last week, Pete, that our team felt like if we're really ready to go, that they'll make a mistake early in the game and we'll be able to capitalize on it. And that happened out in Oakland. And then, we're able to make the third down stop. We're able to make the play there on third and five. And we had good kickoff coverage. And then Mike made the play on third and five. Then we got a 28-yard punt return. And, next thing you know, we're in the end zone. Mm-hmm. And another good kickoff and another stop and another return. And so, it just takes two or three, two or three plays in this league, and all of a sudden that's 14 points or 21 points. And so I think our players are really excited about the opportunity to go out there and jump on them early, and they made some good plays early in the game.
When did the decision to put Hochstein in the backfield come up?
That was part of the game plan going in, but as the week went on and we felt more comfortable with the forecast being snowy and possibly rainy and cold, we added some plays, actually, on Friday and even Saturday in the walkthrough that we didn't have in earlier in the week in our two tight end or, whatever you want to call it, offense, three tight end offense, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call it, Russ, fullback or tight end, but with bigger people. And so we added those later in the week, and they actually helped us out quite a bit in the game. We got good production from them.
Did you add any plays that actually handed the ball off to him?
Well, we're still thinking about those. He's lobbying for him, but
sure
we're still thinking about those.
What about no play action, like kind of a Vrabel type scenario where he might catch the ball?
He's no
goal line stance, something like that.
We got some other guys that can do that.
Yeah, that's right.
Because, when you watch it in those type of conditions, going straight ahead is relatively easy. It's changing direction. Similar to receivers. If you got to run a receiver right out of DB and just turn around, he has a lot of trouble trying to react to that.
Yes, and we tried to get the ball downhill. There weren't too many plays. I don't think there were really any plays where we went outside except a couple times when they all stunted down inside and we had a real short corner. But most of our outside plays were some type of a screen variety, either to the receivers or the backs. And it was a lot easier to get the ball outside on those type of plays than it was handing it and running it and trying to cut and all that. So we kind of substituted some of those plays for the outside runs.
Did they make an adjustment personnel-wise when Hochstein was in there?
No, not really. They played it the same way they've really played that stuff all year. They treated it like two tight ends and two backs, the way they normally play it. And they dropped Wilson down in the box and brought the corner up on the weak side and tried to play kind of a nine-man front against it, which it's really what they've done all year.
Now, on defense, when you're on defense, and they came out, and this is a passing team. I mean, they made their bones and their way with passing. And they came out and tried to establish a run. It was so far from them. They had trouble with slow development and everything else. I think that knocked them out of the ball game a lot. I mean, you are what you are. If you're going to try and run the ball and you don't run, it's very ineffective, and you're out of your game plan from then on in.
Well, I think it was important for us to start the game and not let them establish the running game, and that was one of our big priorities defensively was let's don't let them run the ball. We know they can throw it. We know they got a lot of great receivers and they get the ball to the backs a lot. And then if they mix that in with a running game and you're trying to defend everything, it's really hard. And, we just really had big emphasis up front going in that if we stop the run and just turn it into a passing game, then we can just play the pass. We knew that was going to be hard, but at least, we're not trying to stop everything. And that helped us defensively because we did play the run pretty well other than they had just the one handoff there for 12 yards or whatever it was. But on top of that, we scored on offense, and so the score I think, took them out of the running game as much as we did defensively. It was a combination of those two things.
Well, were you surprised at all initially that they tried to come out and run the ball? I mean, did you expect maybe they come out with four or five wides and really try to, you know, exploit your secondary? And
no, I don't. I think that's a hard way to play in a day like that. You know, we're just throwing the ball on every single down. And we gave them some opportunities to run the ball. We played a lot of deeper coverage with our safeties. We didn't have them down there close to the line of scrimmage. And we saw in the Minnesota game that when Minnesota brought all their guys down by the line, then they were throwing the ball in some of those check with me plays instead of running it. And, you know, we played Minnesota a couple of years ago and kind of did the same thing. You know, we threw the ball a lot in that game up there on the Monday night game. But we felt like if we didn't bring everybody down around the line of scrimmage, that they would try to run it rather than throw it. We just needed to stop it, and it worked out for us.
Kurt Warner had played Nicole before. He's played in where?
Northern Iowa.
Yeah, that's a dome, though.
Canada. Yeah, he played
dome up there.
They played in Canada, too? He was in a dome also?
Yeah, well, he's been in cold weather.
And Matt Castle's never been in this weather. They did practice in it. And then Liner came in through okay, you know, threw a little bit more zip on the ball. I was just surprised that Warner came so unglued so early. Even though as the game progresses, you watch as Matt Castle throwing the ball. Are we surprised that he had no effectiveness at all throwing the ball?
Well, I think it was a little bit more of a combination of the game than it was the conditions. You know, I thought he made a real nice throw to Fitzgerald over there in front of their bench when Ellis had great coverage on him. He put it over him right on the sideline. But we got pretty good pressure on Warner up the middle. And, you know, it was hard for him to step up and throw. And a couple times we had pretty good coverage on the receivers. So I think the pass rush, you know, probably had something to do with his effectiveness throwing the ball, too.
The offensive game plan with Castle throwing that much, was that a factor of that it was just working so he kept at it, or did you anticipate being able to throw that well?
Well, we just really tried to mix it up, Steve. We threw and we ran. A lot of those passes weren't very far down the field.
Right.
They were just, you know, outside runs or quick throws to try to get the ball out in space to a receiver or a back that have a little bit of a chance to run with it and break a tackle out there. So I think that when you combine those plays to the number of actual downfield throws, it was probably about 80% of either short throws or runs.
So you talked about the difference in some of your offensive game plans, wanting the ball to go downhill. Defensively, is there anything that changes when the weather's like that in terms of your calling?
Well, I just think defensively you want to be more you want to defend the middle of the field and make them throw the ball on the sideline and make them throw the ball down the field. I'm not saying you want to give those away, but, you know, you want to be competitive on the inside routes. And I thought that when they ran some inside routes and crossing routes that we were on a pretty tight, and those were difficult throws. I mean, they had to really work to get open. We knocked a couple of them down and tipped a couple balls. So that gave us an opportunity to, you know, force the balls outside. And we were able to, when they ran those screen passes, we had a couple nice plays. You know, Mayo made one early, knocked the ball loose. You know, we could have gotten that fumble. They threw a couple other ones outside. And you know, we were pretty close on those, too. So it was, you know, minimal gains. But, you know, once they get those going, then it just kind of, you know, spreads you out and you start hitting them inside and all that. Felt like just offensively we had good balance between our wide receiver screens, our throws to the backs, and then the running game.
And they've been pretty effective throwing the ball in the middle, clearing out and throwing the ball in the middle, too. They've been pretty effective up until.
Right, well, especially with Bolden. You know, he's really their slot receiver and their leading receiver. And then Fitzgerald, of course, you know, was a great compliment to him. So they had a lot of throws to Bolden, which, of course, they didn't have yesterday. But that's kind of their attack, is to throw inside to Bolden, throw everywhere to Fitzgerald and get the ball to the backs, you know, in some space situations, like wide routes, flare routes, and screens, things like that.
How much did the play last week in those conditions help? Because he went out there and played, and really, was that as bad as this, that wet weather?
It was worse. Yeah, I think it's harder for the skill players to handle the wet balls than it is the snow. The snow is really more about the footing, but when it rains, then it's really about, you know, the ball handling. It's a slick ball, and you know, last week we had a little more trouble with, you know, we bobbled a snap on the punt and you know, it was a little bit harder to hang on the ball, a little harder to throw it. I felt like those conditions were tougher than the ones we had. And same thing in Seattle, you know, it rained out there. And, of course, it rained, you know, here in Pittsburgh in the Pittsburgh game. And those were pretty challenging, too.
Helps you guys get acclimated a little bit.
Yeah, you definitely get used to it and you get to the point where you just, you know, you deal with it and I really don't think it bothered us too much yesterday.
It's like working with these guys. No one can interrupt me and make it and bother me.
I don't interrupt you.
No, Steve does.
Well, it's nice to see Jarvis Green, who I think has struggled at times this year, and he's one of my, I think, been one of the most underrated players on the team since you've been here. But this year he seemed to struggle a little bit. But good to see him get back in the groove yesterday, and Mike Wright, too, when Richard went down.
Absolutely. Mike and Jarvis gave us a lot of pressure on the quarterback, and Vince and Richard chipped in there with some good pressures as well, and Vrabel. But Mike Wright and Jarvis really had an excellent day rushing the passer.
I know I'm not going to get an answer to this, but I'm going to ask you anyway. But Richard went out as reportedly some kind of a back injury. Any chance he might be able to play on Sunday?
It is what it is, Pete.
No, see, if I don't ask you that, then, I got to listen to Felger in the morning say we don't ask you.
You don't listen to Felger in the morning.
Well, that's true. But I hear it. He emails me.
Well, we'll see how it goes. He wasn't able to finish the game, but hopefully that'll clear up. But we'll just have to see. It's just 24 hours after the game, and we'll have to see what happens when we go out to practice this week, what he's able to do. But we got quite a few days until game time. It's a big game against Buffalo, and I'm sure Richard will do all he can to be there. So.
Your schedule practicing this different this week than normal because
of
Christmas?
Yes, we're going to practice Tuesday and Wednesday and give the players and the coaches off Thursday and then come back on Friday. So we're just kind of substituting Tuesday for Friday and for the players' day off. Mm-hmm.
Did anyone see the guy jump out of the stands that tried to tackle Junior?
Yeah, no, I missed that.
I think the guy's going to miss a few games himself now.
Is that right?
Or be the victim of some games in jail, either way. Well, when you talked about the Buffalo game, and the big talk here all day on the radio has been about the playoff implications and the scenarios and all that. I know we've asked you this before, but how difficult is it to keep the guys focused on exactly what you need to accomplish?
Well, I think we've been doing that for 3 weeks, ever since the Pittsburgh game.
True.
We've just pretty much said that we're in a one-game season. All we can do is control our performance in this game, and whatever else happens is out of our control. Just don't worry about it. And I think the players have done a great job of that. They've prepared to go out and play well and win the game that we're playing that week, and whatever else happens, we just got to go out there and do our best, and we'll try to take that same approach again this week. We always, we always root against the division teams, and we can root against Baltimore and teams like that. But I mean, in the end, there's really nothing we can do about it. So we just got to go out there and take care of our job, and hope that we get some help.
Think about the guy, Gostkowski, kicking in this kind of weather consistently has been unbelievable. I mean, all those years as a kid in Buffalo helped him out.
First time he was with Buffalo.
He's a Buffalo. I talked to him earlier, but that's his concentration, his ability to change his footing and plant foot on the slippery surface. He's been phenomenal this year.
He's done an excellent job, and especially on the kickoffs, because that's when you really got to take a good run at the ball and count on that plant foot and have the consistency to come through. And he did an excellent job yesterday, not only hitting the ball down the field, but also with some hang time. And we got good coverage out of Mike Richardson and Trone and Antoine Spann, Kelly Washington. We got some big plays, once inside the 10 and I think two other times inside the 20. So, you start with that kind of field position defensively, that's a big help. And if you can hold it, which we did many times yesterday, then offensively you're playing on a short field.
This is your best punting you've done in a long time. You have one punt yesterday?
Yeah. No, we had three.
Do you have three?
Yeah. Come on.
Oh, right, down the end of the game. Well, I left it at the end of the game.
I stopped watching at the half.
Well, from a psychological standpoint, obviously you had to take care of business in Buffalo. I understand that. But I thought yesterday was interesting. In Denver, Mike Shanahan would not allow any of the San Diego highlights to be shown while they were playing, even though they blew a 13-0 lead to Buffalo. But do you feel better that the Jets game and the Baltimore game are being played at 4:15 as opposed to 1 o'clock? Psychologically, does it give you...
I think it does make it a little bit easier for us to just focus on what we're doing. There's nothing else to do except play our game. Mm-hmm. So there's no other scores or anything that affects us. So, I mean, that's fine. And if it was different, it was different. I'm sure they'd be watching our scores, too, mm-hmm. or whatever. So, but, the way it worked out is, we've got a 1 o'clock game, and we got to take care of business there. If we don't, it won't make any difference what anybody else does.
If you do you hang out in Buffalo to watch your game, or do you come back on the plane and just get updates on the way back? No, honestly.
We'll meet you up there.
Yeah, we, in all of our other road games, we've been able to pick up the TV broadcast in the air. Okay. So I imagine it'll be the same. It's a short flight.
Do the GMs or ownership have any say in these flex games, or is it just?
I don't know how it works, Steve. Honestly, right. I'm just trying to figure out what to do on third down. And
we heard you have a lot. We heard you have a lot of athletes.
You know, there's a lot of. I'm sure there's a lot of brilliant people working on TV schedules and ratings right. and
on the radio,
and all that
mental giants,
all
yeah.
that. So whatever it is, that's way out of my realm. Right. I don't even know who does it, and I don't.
Does that tick you a little bit off? You set for 1 o'clock game and change to 4. I mean, it doesn't make that big a difference.
Or nighttime, even worse.
Or nighttime.
Well, I think they've already, I think the league's already, set the expectations that that's not going to be the way it is. I mean, we went through that last year and when they moved games around and so forth. And, I know colleges do it all the time. They got a game that could be in time from noon to 8 o'clock at night. So I think that's just something that all of us have gotten used to. Maybe not the preference, but every team has to deal with that. And whenever they decide to move, then they move.
Well, Buffalo came back and had a nice game yesterday to pull that out against Denver.
Denver brought them back.
Denver helped a little bit, but there's a team that started out hot and is not finishing near as well as a lot of people thought they would. What do you see when you watch them on film?
Well, Steve, they've lost a lot of close games. They've been in a couple tough games that they really could have won, probably should have won. The Jets game, being a good example.
Right.
They played Miami competitively. They play everybody tough. They can, Edwards, I think, is probably he's their number one quarterback. So I think it makes a difference for them when he's in there. No question about that. Not that taking anything away from Losman, but. I think that Edwards makes a big difference. They got very good skill players. Their receivers are excellent. They got two outstanding running backs. Their tight ends are productive, and they're fast and quick on defense. And I don't think we play a better team. I mean, I don't think we play a better team than the Buffalo Bills on special teams. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're good on everything. They can return kicks. They can block them. They cover well. They're very good. They're creative. They run their fake field goals and fake punts. And, they got the Jets in two games. They got them twice on fake punts.
Right.
Once
yeah.
in the first game and then again in the second game. So, you just can't relax on these guys. We saw it in our first game where, McKelvin hit that 85-yarder on them and on us. And they're just very dangerous in the kicking game. So, it starts right there. Really, they've been in just about every game, and they had a couple that. But for the most part, they're very competitive. They've just been a play or two away from. They could easily be in the playoffs right. here. With
and coach, they run the play that last week's punt. You wouldn't expect them to run that. The punt fake they ran. It was early in the game, wasn't it? The first one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, right. But what they had done the last time they played the Jets was Mormon kept the ball and kept it around the other end, so the Jets had. A couple extra players over there. Buffalo, obviously anticipated that, and they, they took it around left end instead of around right end, and that was wide open. So, those kind of things just kind of they add up. It's just another log on the fire when you're worried about fake punts and onside kicks and block kicks on field goals and Parrish and McKelvin and a multiple of stuff, different rushes and trying to, trying to gain an edge, trying to gain some field position in the kicking game. It's just hard. They do a very, very good job.
You watch the Jets game. They have Lynch was killing them. Wasn't he 6 yards a carry?
Marshawn Lynch, yeah.
They had a good day running the ball, and it seemed like it kind of got a little bit better in the second half. They broke a couple runs early in the first quarter, but, in the second half, it seemed like they were running the ball with a little bit more consistency, and they didn't have a great day throwing it, but it seemed like they ran the ball better. They tried to run that play action pass at the end of the game, and Elam just came in there and got him off the backside.
Which one was that? You mean the rollout?
It was just a regular drop back pass. It was just a regular play action pass, and
he rolled out of the pocket.
Yeah, he saw the pressure coming from the backside, kind of rolled out, and the fullback got jammed, hung up on a line of scrimmage, and held the ball there for a second, I think that they do a good job with their spread receiver sets. They run a lot of four receivers and some three receivers, and their backs are very good out of the backfield, Jackson and Lynch. So they got a lot of guys to defend.
Are they the biggest offensive line in the NFL, the heaviest?
They're not bigger than Philadelphia
Jacksonville.
Who else do we play? It was right there with
Baltimore's huge.
Well, anyway, but no, I don't think they're quite that. But, I mean, Langston Walker and Peters are, they're big.
Yeah.
But the inside guys, you know, Butler and, you know, Dockery's a pretty big kid, too.
Mm-hmm.
Butler, you know, they're, I mean, they're big, but the, Philadelphia, it's, you know, they kind of block out the sun.
What makes Lynch different than some of the other backs that you've, some of the top backs that you played? Not even so much this, but in the last couple of years. I mean, he can be a beast and take over a game.
Yeah, I think the thing that Lynch, I mean, you know, we see a lot of backs that are fast and quick and you know, break tackles and change directions. Well, I think the thing about Lynch that's really impressive is his power. I mean, for, you know, he's not a big-looking guy, but he plays with a lot of power and a lot of strength, and he plays with a good pad level, so he's hard to tackle. He drops his pads well, and then, you know, he bounces off a lot of tackles. Guys just can't get him down. He's got good lower body strength and plays with very good leverage. Catches the ball well, but he's quick. He can make people miss in the open field. He's got good speed. But, you know, as an inside runner, you see him push the pile. You know, he runs in there, and you say, okay, looks like he's going to get 2 yards, and it's second and five.
Well, the touchdown with the Jets, he pushed the entire pile into the end zone.
Yeah, right. And so, I mean, he has enough plays like that where it's not, you know, it's not a one-time thing. He does it quite a bit, and so you just don't realize how strong he is as a runner. Mm-hmm. In addition to all the other things, you know, he can go down the sideline and cut back and make guys miss and all that, and he can go the distance.
You touched on it earlier, but I want to just expand on it again. How difficult it is to play a team. You're playing for everything, and they're basically playing for pride, so they're going to throw everything at you but the kitchen sink. Is that more difficult to prepare for?
Well, we prepare for every team's best every week, so, you know, we can't you know, we never go into a game thinking, well, this team's not going to play well against us. And usually they don't. A lot of times we see the team's best, their best performance.
But Washington with Philly this week, and then, you know, Seattle with the Jets. Those teams.
Yeah. So we prepare for everybody's best. And, you know, this is a player's strengths, or this is the team's strengths. These are the things they've done well. These are the things we got to stop. And if it turns out that, you know, we're able to handle those in the game, then great. But, you know, we don't want to go in there and say, well, you know, we don't think they're going to have a good day today. And then turns out.
I just mean like trick plays, stuff like that, when they, you know, they really have, you know, nothing to lose by trying anything and everything. I mean, as far as, you know, if Dick decides to, you know,
trip
reverses and this, that, we saw, you know, the special
team. You
know,
I think the good thing about Buffalo, Pete, is it really, I think you have to play them like that every time. Because when Lynch gets the ball, you don't know where he's going to go. Yeah. You know, like we tell our players, everybody's at the point of attack. I mean, just because he starts out to the left, he goes back to the right as much as he goes to the left. So it doesn't matter where he starts. You know, everybody's at the point of attack. So if they run a reverse, it's really no different than Lynch reversing his field on his own. You know, that's just kind of the way you got to play that team. And, I mean, I know what you're saying, but, you know, a team like the Raiders are much more of a, you know, get the ball in a hole type of team. Buffalo's has a running attack where literally the ball can hit from sideline to sideline every play.
Right, by the way, Coffee with the Coach was brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. I'm supposed to read that at the beginning, but I forgot. Time now, your
coffee,
favorite part. Time now for our CleanEnergyAction.net Coach's Question of the Week. This week's question comes to us from Barbara Mario Renzi. Barbara asks, we got to see a little bit of Kevin O'Connell in the fourth quarter yesterday. How has Kevin's development gone this season? Has he progressed as much or more than Matt Castle did his first year as a backup?
Well, I don't think we're really going to know the answer to that question until Kevin really gets a chance to play. I think that Kevin, like Matt, has learned a lot this year in the meetings and in the practice field with the opportunities that he's gotten. But he just hasn't had the opportunities to play. And so, you know, until we can really see how that translates onto the actual field in game conditions, you know, I don't know if we really know the answer to that question. But I think Kevin works hard. He's a smart kid. He's very astute. I think he understands concepts well, and he practices well. But we all know playing in a game is a little bit different than practicing out there. It doesn't take anything away from him. It's just he hadn't had an opportunity to do it. So those same questions that a lot of people had about Castle, until he actually gets out there and plays, I don't know if you really know the answer to those. But I do like the way that Kevin works and the progress that he's made in what he has had an opportunity to do.
Has he ever seen snow before?
Well, we had a little driving course for our rookies, you know, because we got you know, Mayo's from Virginia you know, Guyton's from Georgia and Will Heights from Louisiana and Ben Jarvis is from Louisiana and you know, Kevin's from California and Slater's from Anaheim, and so we don't exactly have a, you know, a northern crew here. They're all know, Vince Reds, another Southern
kid. You're
going
to call the Celtics to get Glenn Davis to participate in these. So that guy's going to be okay.
We're going to have a little driving class, you know.
We're going to
take
him out
the parking lot.
Yeah, that's right. Do donuts. Yeah, learn how to come out of the,
We're in a stadium once. All of a sudden we get a call, Blueprint, pin named Parker, called us from a snowbank. Because, you know, Buffalo's on the snowbelt. He tried to make a corner coming in the stadium about 40 miles an hour, went right in the snowbank and was stuck. Called us down the stadium to dig him out. He was from South Carolina.
Well, we had a thing a couple of years ago where one of our players called about 5 minutes before the Saturday night meeting and said, well, you know, I got a little problem here. I'm stuck in the snow. Well, how long ago did you leave? Oh, well, I just left. Oh, so, okay, we're driving 50 miles an hour to try to get to the meeting.
Right.
And guess what?
Yeah, those things will happen.
So
that's good. That's, you know what? That's actually forward thinking. You know, to preventative measures to get these kids to figure out how to drive.
But even us, we can have. You know, I was driving down the street and I had a Jeep, a big mud of tires on it. So I was going to drive into the woods. Actually, it was years ago with Hazards in the car. And I went, and it happened to be a 6-foot ditch, but it was filled with snow, so it looked level. And I went right under. The whole thing was engulfed in snow.
Is that how you hit your head?
I didn't hit my head that time. I'm like, help me. I had to stand up the Jeep.
Well, Coach, Merry Christmas, and thank you very much for an enjoyable year so far. And we'll see
if you get
a little Christmas
Monday.
Present
Well, sounds
Sunday.
Good. Well, have a good holiday. Again, all the listeners, happy holidays. And Steve, Pete, Fred,
Merry Christmas to the Jets. We wish them well.
The only time we'll ever hear us say that.
Yeah, but it's actually rooting for the Jets. That's great.
All right, Coach, Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.